on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This is a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the f*** off of this bus.
Hello, everyone. Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I thank you guys for joining us on this special Tuesday night edition of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. We have draft analyst Hayden Russell back with us. Hayden, welcome to the show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I had a great time last time and had a great NFL draft, so I'm excited to talk some prospects with you tonight.
Yeah, and let's talk draft, man. Iowa State had four players drafted, as you guys, as Cyclone fans know. And not only that, three of them were picked in the top 100, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it was a great draft if you're an Iowa State fan, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like, you listen to Casario from the Texans, and he's the second GM to say this about Iowa State players get the job done. John Lund said that from the 49ers, and he basically said the same thing when drafting Jalen and Jaden in the second and third round.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I was floored when he ended up taking both of the receivers. I thought like there was a chance that Texans could potentially take one of them, but having the opportunity to take both of them, and especially Jalen Noel being there, I think he was taken in the third round, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, that is a heck of value to get him in the third round. I thought he was a borderline, like, first-round pick this year. It is kind of the case, like, a lot of, like, really, like, any pick between 20 and 50, which I know he ended up going a little bit later than that, but I know Higgins kind of falls into that. A lot of those guys that were kind of in that 20 to 50 range, at least over here at our lads, we had very similar grades on. I mean, we thought that some of those guys, and Jalen Noel, like, was part of that group for sure. So for him falling all the way down to, you know, into the third round was great value for the Texans, I thought.
No, definitely. And with your team, the Colts, didn't getting Jalen Travis, I know that you were pumped about that.
Oh, most definitely. Absolutely. You might have remembered the last time I was on the show, I hadn't done all of my full prep on Jalen Travis yet. I knew he was big. I knew he was a great athlete, but I didn't know a whole lot about him. Well, lo and behold, the Indianapolis Colts, my team ends up taking him. So now I kind of got familiarized myself with him. So he's big. I remember seeing him in person when he was at the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, he stands out like a sore thumb, even amongst giant human beings, you know, that are there playing offensive tackle. So he's big, and to have someone that's as big as he is, it can move like he is. He's got a chance to be a special prospect. There's a couple things, pad level being one of them, that he still needs to continue to improve on. But, I mean, getting him in the fourth round is pretty solid, you know, for a developmental tackle.
Right. A developmental guy that could probably also play inside, too. I mean, because you already have Quentin Nelson anchoring that offensive line. So, I mean, maybe he can switch it, go to one of those guard positions. I believe that was a need for the Colts.
Yeah. The right guard position is totally open. They've talked about potentially putting Matt Gonsalves down there. He was I can't remember what round he got taken in last year, but he's a potential candidate to move down in there. And what I think they drafted Jalen Travis for was to be that swing tackle, whereas they thought maybe, you know, Matt could be that this coming year. But if he's going to potentially be moving and being, you know, inside and being our starting right guard, or potentially Jalen Travis could be that, but maybe a little too big to play guard on the inside like that. But you also got a big quarterback in Anthony Richardson, so can be able to see over him. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's very, very true, man. It's an awesome time. There are a few questions I wanted to ask you, because I remember you bringing up your draft guide before we ended the show. I guess for the Cyclone prospects, how accurate were your projections for each player? Like, were they like sort of close to what you thought they were going to be get picked at?
Yeah, I think we were pretty head on with most of them. I'd say the two big ones that we missed out, I did have a draftable grade on Malik Verdon. I thought he would certainly get drafted. He obviously ended up going undrafted. I think he got picked up by the Falcons, if I'm not mistaken.
He did, yes.
A pretty solid spot for him. And then I felt like we were a little bit higher on Jalen Noel than the consensus. I think we even put him like borderline, like I said, in the first round. So that's what I, in regards to getting him in the third round, to get someone as explosive and as crafty as he is. Like, I personally, I think he can be like, he's got the potential to be like a Pro Bowl, like consistent Pro Bowl level receiver at the NFL level. So he's a guy that I would keep an eye on.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at one of the Houston clips and one of the Cyclone writers on another famous Iowa State podcast said that his comp that he thinks for him, Jalen Nuller, is Julian Edelman. So, I mean, that's high. That's really, really high praise when you think about it right there. But, like, you see the production fits with that potential. So, it's not really crazy when you think about it.
I thought it was really funny because I'm 100%, I'm not a big like player comp guy. It's just not my thing. It's hard to compare players like that. But when I was watching Jalen Nuller in the offseason before we got into the draft, I just was like, man, he kind of reminds me of Tank Dell a little bit. And then, of course, the Texans end up taking him. I just think they have very similar like play style. And I wouldn't say like, I think it'd be too strong to say he could be a replacement for Tank Dell because Tank Dell is such a great player. But obviously he's had the injuries. The injury history that's been following him throughout his career so far. Maybe a guy that Noel can be a guy that you can develop and potentially, number one, be a complement to Tank Dell. But number two, if Tank Dell ends up getting hurt again, can kind of be slotted in into that receiver role.
Right, definitely, man. And then there is a second, or there's a few questions I have. I get, and then the other one is, do you think any of these UDFAs make a roster? Because for me, there's three of them that come off of my mind. I would say I think Malik Verdon, if he can stay healthy, I think can get on the Falcons roster because the Falcons need secondary help. And I think for me, Steve O'Klotz, just with being that with that H-back position and with Jim Harbaugh playing smash mouth football, I think he'll be there. And then Miles Purchase, I think, will be able to make a roster as well.
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Yeah, I think Verdon can definitely make the roster. I think I talked about when I was on the show last time, too. I feel like he's almost got that versatility because he plays so well in the box. Yeah. You see a lot of teams that are taking safeties at the college level now and converting them to linebackers, just kind of the way that the NFL passing game is going and everything. I could see him potentially being a candidate to do that. He might be a little bit too light to do that. Usually you see some bigger bulked up safeties that do that, and he's certainly bigger. I think he was, 6'3 or 6'4 and had some good weight on him and everything like that. He's certainly a bigger type of player, so I think he could obviously work in at safety, but also like potentially be like a plug-in like linebacker too. I thought his box scores were pretty impressive, so that's my take on it. There are a couple other UDFAs that I think have a chance to make the roster. I can't remember who picked up Sebastian Castro out of y'all's rival. I gave him a second round grade this year, and he went all the way to undrafted. That was probably the biggest shock of the draft to me because I thought, and I'm sure you all noticed over the past few years that he's been there, he's a really, really talented player. I thought maybe, I don't know. I really don't know because I thought he had the chance to be a really good nickel at the next level. He's got versatility to play deep safety as well, but a little confused by that. There were a couple other guys that I noted down as well. Xavier Restrepo, the only reason that I put him as a guy to make the roster is because, well, number one, he's very talented. I was a little surprised he went undrafted too. But also, he's going on the same team as Cam Ward in Tennessee. You give Cam Ward his number one target in Miami. I just feel like that's kind of a match for Xavier Restrepo, like a match made in heaven. Like you, as a UDFA, as someone who's just really trying to scratch your way into the roster, being able to hang on that, being Cam Ward's number one target at Miami, and just giving Cam Ward some comfortability. You know, obviously he was taken first overall. You know, just giving him some comfortability coming in the door immediately could be a guy that can make the roster. Nick Nash won the Triple Crown amongst receivers, ended up going undrafted. Amongst wide receivers, he was number one in receptions, number one in receiving yards, and number one in receiving touchdowns last year. Could be a potential guy. And then Jay Higgins, who is super productive. I know he's not like an athletic freak. He's undersized for the position, but for a guy who had 295 tackles over the last two seasons, I mean, I know he ended up going to the Ravens. Uh-huh. To be able to get that type of value just from a UDFA, I mean, he's a talented player. We think, I know I'm over here, or our associate GM over here at R-Lads really likes him as a guy who could potentially make the Ravens roster for his ability in zone coverage. So someone to keep an eye on.
Definitely. I mean, it reminds me of a linebacker also from Iowa that the Cowboys used to have. He reminds me sort of like Anthony Hitchens a little bit.
Yeah.
So I like what his possible contributions can be to the NFL. And then obviously we got to talk about this Shadur stuff, him sliding all the way to the fifth round. That was absolutely insane. I'm like, this has to be like probably one of the biggest draft misreads ever.
Absolutely. And it's hard because I don't want to comment on it too much because obviously I wasn't there. I know my guess is it's because of how he interviewed. Right. Or some character concerns, yeah. Or whatever it may be, because in my personal opinion, it's certainly not from the play. I thought he was certainly a much better quarterback talent-wise than a fifth-round pick. So the only thing that I could think is that something happened during the interviews, or obviously he's been in the headlines all the time, you know, over the past, you know, couple of years, just based off of, you know, he's got a big personality. That's who he is. And, you know, maybe some teams were drawn off by that. I don't know. It's hard to say because we're not there. All these teams that were, you know, were in the top 10 had an opportunity to really sit down and speak with him, and maybe they just didn't like what they heard. So I don't know. It's a mystery to me too, and I don't want to speculate too much into it, but Cleveland Browns getting Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round. I mean, I'm not saying he could walk in the door and be their starting quarterback right away. It's tough to do that as a rookie, especially a rookie in the fifth round, but he's got the talent. I mean, it's certainly there to be able to do it.
Yeah, especially with the way that quarterback room looks now, I definitely can possibly see it. There's definitely a path for him to start. So I wanted to go back to Iowa State for a second, then we'll go back to more draft stuff. Now, for me, I guess, which player has a chance to win Rookie of the Year? Obviously, it really depends on the type of receiver that's, you know, that CJ will want to throw it to, because basically the comp that I've heard for Jaden Higgins was Nico Collins. That's what Texans fans say. Here we got another Nico Collins.
Yeah, absolutely. And is this question based off of Iowa State prospects who has the best chance to win Rookie of the Year?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to take it in another direction. The only reason is because I don't know who's going to come out of the Texans receiver room in the starting group. I assume, just from my opinion, as you've heard, I think Jalen Noel will be one of the starters. I don't know if Jaden Higgins is going to be one of the starters. I'm actually going to throw it over to Las Vegas, talk about Darian Porter a little bit.
Yes.
Him landing over in Vegas where he's getting to be coached by Pete Carroll. I mean, he's obviously, as we've talked about and as you all have seen, big corner, long corner. He is fast as heck. And really, if you look at the guys that are ahead of him, it wouldn't be too crazy. Let me pull up so I'm getting the names right here. Sure. But, I mean, the guys ahead of him right now are Ja'Cory Bennett. They have Eric Stokes, who came over from the Packers. I mean, he's going to have a shot, like, immediately to walk in there in week one, be a starting quarterback or cornerback, excuse me, in that room. I'm not saying that the two guys ahead of him are scrubs or anything like that. They're both good players. But obviously, we know Darian Porter is very talented. I talked about when I was on the podcast last time. He's one of those players that if you're a coach, you just absolutely love him. He's always going 100%, 100% of the time. And I think that's going to be able to translate well to the NFL level as well.
No, definitely. And just, you know, the fact that he was there at 67, and even, like, I know, like, one thing that you were, like, sort of concerned about was his age, but the fact that he was still, like, a top 75 pick and getting that type of value at that level for the Raiders, that's really, really good.
Yep, and at the end of the day, I mean, he's old, but you know what? He's on the Las Vegas Raiders now, so he's going to have opportunity to, you know, say, age isn't going to matter for me. And, I mean, 25 years old as a rookie shouldn't matter to him. Maybe it'll matter down the line when he's getting into his 30s and everything like that, earlier than other guys in his class. Okay. But for the immediate future, great value, I thought.
Definitely. And then you can use him. He's an ace special teams guy. So special teams coordinator is going to love him. Be like, yes, you go in there, block a kick for me.
No doubt. No matter what, he's going to have opportunity to play this year. I mean, it's starting week one, whether it's on special teams or whether it's on defense.
Yeah, and then I just, obviously you personally, with your Colts fandom, I want to know your thoughts about what the Colts draft as a whole.
Colts draft as a whole, so I thought coming into the draft, I think the big hole that was on the roster is they just missed that big physical pass-catching tight end in the passing game. I just feel like for a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, who's entering year three, really year two because he was hurt most of his first year, this is kind of like the year. Like, Anthony Richardson has to stand out this year. We have to see something that makes us comfortable in Anthony Richardson as our starting franchise quarterback moving forward. Or maybe you don't. Daniel Jones is your quarterback. Obviously, I know the Colts hope that isn't the case, but it's good to have that insurance. They just need to surround him with a big physical playmaker over the middle of the field. Tyler Warren can be that guy. He's going to be physical in the or as a blocker as well. I know the Colts have Mo Ali Cox, who they really like as a run blocker, but and Tyler Warren there at 14, I thought was the slam dunk of the draft for the Colts, I should say. Like, if coming into the draft, I would have guessed. I haven't seen the Colts board, obviously. I would guess he was probably the number one player that they wanted, and they ended up getting him. Overall, I thought the Colts draft was really good. They actually started off the draft with three Big Ten prospects and him. Then they went to JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. I thought it was pretty solid. Justin Wally, I thought, was a really surprise pick. He was a corner from Minnesota who they took in the third round. We had a much lower grade on him here at our lads, but it's very evident that Chris Ballard likes his with ball production and with a lot of experience. I think he was a four-year starter just off the top of my head at Minnesota, but thought it was pretty solid overall. They ended up getting a quarterback late too, just in case something does happen. You at least have your developmental guy in Riley Leonard. So pretty solid overall by the Colts. I was pretty happy.
Yeah, no, it was a solid draft by them. My roommate's also a Colts fan, so he was asking me, hey, what'd you think? I was like, well, you got one of my guys. He's like, so I'm going to have to get a jersey now. I'm like, yes.
Yeah, definitely can't forget on Jalen Travis, too. I know I talked about him earlier in the show, but I'm pretty excited for what he could do. Just having a player as big as he is and the potential that he has can certainly be a good developmental guy. I know on the right side of the line of scrimmage, Braden Smith, he had talked about it publicly, but he had had a problem this year or this past year that caused him to miss a lot of games. He'll be back, but he is also still getting older. So at least having a guy like Jalen Travis who could potentially develop and maybe in the future he ends up being your starting right tackle. I don't know, but it's good to have a player like that on the roster.
Yeah, and then I just want to talk about my Cowboys real quick. I mean, I know, like, obviously, everybody's like, oh, we need a wide receiver, we need a wide receiver. And obviously, we still do. But I do like it took me a while because I was sort of mad with the pick at 12 because I thought for sure it was going to be a wide receiver. But we went O-line with Tyler Booker out of Alabama. So it took me a minute, and then I listened. There's a Cowboys content creator who really does really good film breakdown. And I was really, really sold on that pick. And then at 44, Donovan Isiraku from Boston College, the edge. I love that pick at 44.
I shouldn't be saying this right now because I really love JT Tuimoloau, but the Colts picked at 45, and the Cowboys are picking right ahead of them. And I was just sitting there thinking, please, I pray that Donovan Isiraku is there at 45. Please let him be there. And then, of course, the Cowboys take him right before the Colts. I think a heck of a lot of Donovan Isiraku. I think he can be a guy that can walk in and potentially be like a consistent double-digit sack guy throughout his career. So Dallas getting him in the second round there at 44, I think he can be a perennial pass rusher for them for the years to come. They also got Siobhan Revelle in the third round, who, if he was healthy, just based off of his athletic profile and his play and everything like that, if he played this year, he could have been talked about in the first round conversation. So getting him there in the third round. And I know, his name's Deron Bland. I believe he's a free agent after this year too.
Yes.
Whatever they want to do with Deron Bland, if they want to bring him back, if they want to let him walk so that they can let a younger guy step up. I mean, now you got Revel there who could potentially be that guy too.
Yeah, and they also got some good value later in the round. Later in the draft, I like the Jaden Blue pick out of Texas, and also the Philip Moffitt pick in the seventh round with the two running backs, because that is a position that the Cowboys desperately needed. And I also like the Jay Toya pick from the deep tackle from UCLA.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty solid overall. I thought they came in and did what they set out to accomplish. I know that they really tried to bulk up, obviously, in the first two picks. O-line, edge, and then towards the back end of the draft, they went back into, defense. I know they picked two defensive tackles. They got the one from UCLA, the one from Maryland, and also Cornelius from Oregon as well. Right. So I know he didn't get a whole lot of the limelight because he was across from Josh Connerly, but pretty solid player too. I think Dallas ended up with a pretty good draft overall. Obviously, they really needed a running back too, just because of,
right,
you know, who was in the backfield last year. So they ended up getting two of those guys. We'll see if either of them can develop into potentially a starting or a starting running back. Jaden Blue, I remember talking in the summer last year because Texas has had so many running backs,
right,
that have come out over the last couple of years, talking about him as a potential breakout guy. And he certainly was that. So think he could potentially be that guy, and getting Phil Maffa in the seventh round, a guy that's as productive as he was at Clemson, probably won't be a guy that steps up and, you know, contributes right away, at least in the backfield. Could be a guy that you develop who could be, you know, pretty solid depth for the years to come.
Definitely, man. I'm really, really excited. Obviously, you know, with Shoddy taking over the reins, it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches this offseason with Dallas. So I think we'll stop there, Hayden. Thank you for giving me your time. Just a few things before we go. I just have to do a few podcasting before we go. So the Believe in Iowa State is a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa. So thank you, everyone in the state of Iowa, and all listeners for listening to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Also, to make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. And since this is a solo show, you can find me on Twitter at SciTieGuy. And Hayden, if you want, can you tell us where everybody can find you at?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. You can find me, the number one place you'll find me is on Twitter, or on X, I should say. It's at HNRUSSELL, HN Russell. Where you'll see me the most, I don't do a whole lot of posting on social media, but if I do it, you'll find me there. Obviously, you could check us out at rlads.com as well for best depth charts and all the land. Also, you can check out the draft guide if you're interested. This is the physical copy of it. It is sold out now. So if you still want a copy of the draft guide, you can still get the digital version of, so you can get it for your phone or your computer. People ask me, why would I get it now since the draft is over? Well, I know you're a Cowboys fan. You know, you can kind of, it's easy for me as a Colts fan to say, hey, the Colts had a great draft. Look at all these great players that they drafted. Well, now I can go back into the guide and say, hey, what was our actual, you know, unbiased opinion before they got picked by our team? So that could be a reason to go look at it and, you know, get our opinion on how you all did in the draft and how each individual pick stacked out for us. So check it out if you're interested.
Yes. So everyone go and check out our lads. They do excellent work, put out great content, and go and get yourself a draft guide. So with all the time we have today, I am Tyler Carter with the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.